Wednesday evening. It almost seems like we're digressing a little bit after being here Sunday. But soon we'll have all our services back live and you'll be here with us. And that'll be a great joy when that day comes. Was reading some of our missionary reports, and actually we're doing much better than most of our missionaries. I think two out of the last 10 letters we received by email were opening back up. The other eight were still in nearly a total lockdown. So pray for our missionaries. One good note that I noticed, maybe I believe the Lord's doing something in the UK. Two of the missionaries that were reporting in this past week from there, their church, although they have to have it online and their lockdown is worse than what it is here, their church is growing. Both of them have people saying that they're going to be coming, and that's a great news for them, and they are very jubilant, actually, of what is going on in their churches. So pray for them, and they are doing everything that they can, just like we're doing everything that we can to get the gospel to people, even in these trying times. So pray for our missionaries. And again, we hope to see everyone here every service soon, and just pray the Lord's will be done. Continue praying for our pastor that he would, that God would give him the right guidance, and when he is guiding us, and how that we open church back up. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for all your many blessings. We thank you for your mercy, Lord. Help us, Lord, in these times, Lord. Lord, as we're spending time in our private prayer, help us to spend some time, Lord, seeking what you would have us to do as individuals, Lord, that we would be able to get the gospel out, that we would pray the right way, Lord, for what to do in these times and what to do when these times are over. Help us, Lord, as we continue opening the church back up, Lord, and help us to do that in the right way. And Lord, we pray for your will to be done in all these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I've been waiting. By my side, he's always stood through it all. God's been good.
Times replay, and I can see I've cried some bitter tears, but I felt his arms around me as I faced my greatest fears. I've had more gains than losses, and I've known more joy than His grace rolled down upon me undeserved.
God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams as I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, by my side he's always stood through it all. God's been good through it all. God's been good.
Amen. Good Wednesday evening. Appreciate you tuning in to the broadcast. And also, again, we had a great service in here Sunday, kind of our first Sunday back in the building. And we're excited about the service tonight. So thank you for tuning in. Appreciate the good singing. Let me go ahead and mention that starting Sunday morning, we will start our missions revival with Dr. Scott Cottle. And so, again, we will have services at 9 o'clock, 10:30, just like we had this previous Sunday. Have no Sunday night service, but then we will be back here on Monday and Tuesday night. And, you know, we considered, I talked to Dr. Cottle a month ago and trying to figure out what to do. And, you know, we just decided if missions is going to be important to us, then it should be important in a pandemic. And that whether or not we are would physically be here, and I'm thankful that we are, we were still going to do something because getting the gospel out to the world is what God has commissioned us to do. And so appreciate him planning to be here. We do have Fred Kinehart going to be doing our Spanish Missions Conference, and we still have some exciting things planned. So looking forward to that, and looking forward again to, as Brother Jimmy mentioned, slowly getting back to normal as far as our services and church attendance. And again, we are making steps to do that. And it won't be long until we're in here completely and fully like we normally are. If you would tonight, turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 14. Luke chapter 14. We're going to read verses 28 through 30. And again, you know, let's continue to pray for our nation. As you know, last week we saw a man that was killed. It seems like it has catapulted turmoil in our country. And you know, Friday night I was watching some of the riots, and I thought, you know, our nation is in trouble, and our nation's been in trouble. It didn't happen over one incident. Our nation's in trouble because, let's be honest, we've turned away from God. And we need to pray. We need to pray God would heal our land. We always look at 2 Chronicles 7, and that is a revival scripture. But the Bible tells us, if my people, which are called by my name. You know, it says we have to humble ourselves. We have to call unto God. He said, then he will heal our land. And folks, that's what we need today. We need to quit all the turmoil. We need to quit all the bickering and fighting and division. And we need to unite, not under a political party. We need to unite under God, because that's what's going to change our nation. And so I want to preach on this thought tonight, the key to making right decisions, because I'm seeing more and more people do not know how to make right decisions. And so in Luke chapter 14, verse number 28, the Bible said, "For which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish." Now, in this scripture, if you go back into chapter 14, you realize that Jesus says here in verse 25, "And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them." And so notice the scene here, that here's a multitude of people following after Jesus. And here's what he says to him. He says in verse 26, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sister, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." And then he goes into this scripture. And so as we read that in context, the context there is really following after him. And so, you know, even the decision of salvation needs to be considered. We need to count the cost. We know there's a heaven to gain, but we also know that here on earth we're going to have turmoil, and we're going to have trials and tribulation. And so the Lord even then is saying, look, if you're going to follow me and be my disciple, you may have to give up some things. You may have to give up family. You may have to give up friends. You may have to give up financial success. Whatever it is, he's asking us to consider that and weigh the cost in that decision. And also, when we weigh the cost, we'll see that Jesus is greater than all the treasures of life. And so, as we look at this scripture, he goes on in verse 28 to give us that example. And in verse 31, "What king going to war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. And so I've noticed today in 2020 honestly, Brother Jimmy, people make decisions off of emotion. They make it off of feelings. They say, well, my gut tells me this, or my head tells me this, or my heart tells me this. And it's becoming increasingly difficult for people to make right decisions. It seems that people are using untested means to make decisions that impact our lives and the lives of others. We rely on people who have no more experience. We remember in the Old Testament a king that had gone to his friends his same age. He had the resources to go to men with wisdom and seek counsel, but he bypassed their counsel and decided, well, his friends knew better, probably more like his friends told him what he wanted to hear. And so he chose them as his counsel instead of people with wisdom. And I'm afraid that's what's happening today. We find our feelings, our emotions, our thoughts. We'll even find maybe some catchy phrase on social media and go, you know what, that sounds good. I think that's how I'm going to live my life. That somebody came up with a quote, and I think that quote is much better than what the Bible tells me and how it tells me to live my life. And so we often bypass the very one who can help us make the right decisions every time, and that's the Lord. Hey, listen, you're not going to improve on perfection. And people say, you know, they'll say, well, no one's perfect but God. They're exactly right. So why would I want someone else's opinion on what I should do when I could ask the one who is perfect what to do and always get the perfect decision? So it's no different today. The Lord gives those he is speaking in this scripture too, the secret of following him. Count the cost. And it's no different today. You know what's interesting? When it comes to the business world, we call that a cost-benefit analysis. You take the cost of what something would cost you and the benefits you would get from it. You weigh those, and if the benefit outweighs the cost, then you make that decision. Well, that should be the way we operate in everything. I mean, the fact is, the Bible tells us here in verse 28, "For which of you intending to build a tower?" You know, if you build a house or you build a church or whatever it is, you have to look and say, okay, I need to sit down and figure out what it's going to cost me and see if I actually have the money. Hey, listen, everybody could say on paper, I'm going to build a 10,000 square foot house. But if you don't have the money to build it, then what's going to happen is you're going to start part of it, and it's going to sit there for years and years and never be completed. And so that is the example Christ gives us. And I'll give you two things this evening on the key to making right decisions. In verse 28, the Bible said, "For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first," right? First, not later, first, "and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it." And so as we look at this scripture, the first thing that we must do is there's a consideration we must examine. There's a consideration we must examine. In other words, it's not enough to say, "I feel like this is the right thing to do." There is a consideration. In other words, we have to really think about it. We have to pray about it. We have to seek God's face about it. And so even as Brother Jimmy mentioned earlier this evening, the plan of opening up. Listen, I didn't call my preacher friends and say, "Hey, what are you doing? I think we'll follow that model." I did call them and ask them what they were doing to seek guidance and wisdom. But at the end of the day, when it was all said and done, we prayed about it and we tried to figure out what was best for our church. And so we're going to open up slower than some and quicker than others. And that's fine. People can do what they feel like God wants them to do. That's what they should do. But the fact is, folks, that we need to stop acting out of emotion and just realize, take this these riots. People are not acting cost-benefit analysis. Was mentioned earlier this evening as we were talking. You know, they're not looking at, "Hey, we'll loot these stores and burn them to the ground." Well, somebody's got to rebuild them. Amen. What happened to this young man was awful, and there was no thought in that from that officer. But may I say that it's time that we start having level heads and start thinking and start exemplifying the Lord Jesus and realize that when we make wrong decisions, there is a cost associated with it. When we make right decisions, there's a benefit associated with it. And so here, the Bible tells us in verse 28 that there are things we must consider. What is that consideration? Well, practically speaking, everything we do should start out with prayer. Now, prayer is vital. Prayer is essential. Prayer is fundamental to every believer's lives. And so when we don't spend the appropriate time and the appropriate content of prayer, what happens is we make decisions that hurt us down the road. We make decisions that are not led by the Spirit of God. And as we do that, we make wrong decisions. And so as we consider these decisions, the first thing we must do first, listen, first thing we must do is pray. Not at the end, "Lord, make this all work out." We must pray first. And so this is often the element we leave out of everything, and this should be the first step. Pray much and move slow. You say, "Oh, but it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and if I don't grab onto it, it may never come back." Well, may I say this, if you don't have peace about it, if God's not giving you peace, if you've not prayed about it and have God's perfect peace, don't do it. But you don't understand it's such a good deal. You don't understand. It's not up to you and it's not up to me. It's up to the Lord. And so if we don't pray, we are bound that we're going to make wrong decisions. It's inevitable that we'll make wrong decisions when we don't pray. And so as a church, we have to pray. As a pastor, I have to pray. In every ministry, we have to pray. In your life, you need to pray and ask God to help you and to help me make right decisions. The second thing in that consideration is we must have perspective on it. You know what God's given us? The ability and the common sense to look and see the potential problems that may happen if I make a decision or if you make a decision. Listen, it doesn't take a genius to know that if I sit on my couch for 2 months, like many have had to do, and all I do is eat Little Debbie snack cakes, at the end of that 2 months, I'm probably not going to be able to fit into the pants that I have, right? Amen. "Oh, but it's not my fault, preacher. We've been quarantined." You ain't been quarantined. You've been at Walmart 3 times a week, praise God. So as we look at this and we have perspective on things, we have to look at the potential results. You say, "But we can't know exactly how that's going to turn out." But God has given us enough foresight to realize that certain decisions have certain outcomes and certain decisions can have potentially certain outcomes. And as we look at that and as we pray God would give us wisdom that we could see how my decisions and the decisions that I make and the path that I take is going to affect certain areas of life. So as we look at that, we have to look at the potential results. We have to count the cost, is what the Bible tells us here. For which of you intending, right, to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? We have to look at those who will be affected. The Bible tells us no man lives to himself, no man dies to himself. So every decision that we make affects someone else. Listen, every decision that I make here and Brother Jimmy makes here, as we, our staff team makes here, affects you. And so we want to season it with much prayer. We want to move in the right direction. Listen, we want God to guide, lead, and direct us. And so look at those who will be affected by your decision. Our decisions affect more than just us. People say, well, I didn't hurt anybody but me. Well, sure you do, friend, because there's people that love you and there's people that care about you and there's people that depend on you. And so we have to realize that when we make decisions, it affects everybody. Listen, look at our nation today. We have leaders that are making decisions for us, but they're making them for themselves. They affect us, but they're making decisions for themselves. We have religious leaders. We have pastors that are worried about their ministry. Everything that we do affects someone else, and so we have to look down the road and see what the potential fallout or benefit, the cost or the benefit of every decision that we made. That's called perspective. And then once we pray and once we have the right perspective and God gives us the green light, we have to plan. There's a planning process. Look at verse 28. Which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he had sufficient to finish it? So if we're going to count the cost, we have to see, first of all, if we have the resources, right? Then we have to have a plan to see if the resources that we have match the plan that we have. And so as we pray, as we get perspective, then if God gives us the green light on that decision, what we have to do is plan for it, right? If God gives us confirmation that he wants us to go in that direction, he wants us to ask him for the plan to complete it. God gives us the Word of God. It is a plan for our life. It is a blueprint for our life. God does not want us out in this world getting our advice, getting our counsel from social media. He doesn't want us getting our counsel from people that don't know God. He doesn't want us getting our counsel from people that don't have any more sense than you've got. Amen. God wants us to get our counsel from him. And if we involve him from the start in the planning of every decision that we make, it will be the right decision. So if I know it's God's will, listen, if I know it's God's will, then he will have a plan to get it accomplished. Every time. What happens, Brother Jimmy, is we often make life-changing decisions when we're emotionally not ready to make them. I've seen people leave church, and most of the time when they leave church, they leave church because they're mad. They're upset. And so because they're upset and they're mad, they'll say, well, I prayed about it and God's leading me somewhere else. Isn't it amazing God gets blamed for everything? God has gotten blamed over the years for so many things. It's not even him. People don't pray. They don't seek God's face. You say, well, how can you say that if God led me somewhere else? How did he lead you? Because we're to pray for one another. If you look at your Bible, we're to work out our problems. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. In other words, the worst time to ever leave a church is when you're mad. I'll say amen. Because really, we're to love one another. We're to be unified. We're to walk together in the Spirit of God. So how can you do that if you break fellowship when you're mad? Well, I'm hurt. Well, welcome to the human race. I'm mad. I don't agree with the decision. I don't like the way this happened. No, that's not the reason. Listen, friend, the fact is, if I know it's God's will, if I've prayed about it, if I've got perspective and I look and see the fallout, if I see the benefit, if I see the cost, then God gives me a plan to accomplish His will. And that plan for success, watch this, is always to glorify God. Amen. Not you. Not make you feel better. The plan will always glorify God. So here, as we look at this scripture, we have to realize that if we count the cost, then the cost, the benefit, is glorifying God. The cost may be being uncomfortable. The cost may be that people don't like you. As a matter of fact, as he said, following him, being his disciple, that we have to be willing to let everything and everybody go. You say, why does planning matter? Well, I'll tell you why. Because details matter. Details matter in your life. Details matter in a church. Details matter at work. Details matter in a decision. You say, it doesn't matter. It does matter, friend. Every decision, there must be consideration in prayer, in perspective, in the planning of it, and finally, in the price. There's always a price attached with it. What is it going to cost me and others if I make this decision? 18 years of pastoring, there are decisions I've made. Some have been good, some have been bad. Every decision made does not only affect me, it affects this church. It affects my family, same way with you. And so what is it going to cost me and others if I make this decision? What will it cost? Watch this, the cause of Christ. More than what it's going to cost me, is it going to help or hinder the cause of Christ? Oh, but preacher, I'm not happy. If I make this decision, it'll make me happy. I'll give you an example. I've seen people over the years, they'll take a job somewhere. They'll say, but it's twice as much money as what I was making. Well, where's it at? Well, I'm going to have to move to this city or this town or this state. Well, have you looked and seen if there's a good church there? Well, no, but I'll find one when I get there. Wrong, you got the order mixed up. See, your spiritual well-being is more important than your financial well-being. So the first thing you do is, if God gives you maybe an open door somewhere, you say, okay, is there a good church there? Good Bible preaching church. Well, how will I know that? Well, how will you know that you're going to move to a different state and that company is going to be the company? Well, they're offering me more money and benefits. So what? Listen, how is that going to affect your family? How is it going to affect your spiritual well-being? Well, I can watch church online. I don't know if you've realized this in 2 months. Watching it from your living room in your pajamas is not like getting dressed and coming to the house of God. And so it has a price tag attached with it. What will it cause the cause of Christ if I make this decision? You know how many people I've seen get out of church in my lifetime? Many of you have as well. And it affects their family. It affects their fellowship. It affects their walk with God. Some fall back into sin. Well, guess what? Remember just 5 years ago, 10 years ago, you were bragging about how good God is at work. And now, because you have decided you don't want to be in church anymore, the same people that you talked about how good God was and how good the church was and how good the pastor was, and now you're running all that down, they're saying, man, I don't need any of that if that's what it is. My friend, you better count the cost before you make a decision. You better find out the price tag attached with it, because the devil always has his trinkets, but he don't have the price tag attached with it. You ever go to Walmart or some of these other stores? And it's amazing to me, the product that I want, they never have a price tag. You go up, you look, and you say, how much is this? And there's no price tag. You don't know the price tag. If you're fortunate enough to find somebody in the store that's got one of those little price guns, they might can come over and scan a code. But oftentimes it's not, you have an idea, obviously, I know that. But a lot of times you go up there and you don't even know the price, because you can't find it on the little placard underneath it. They rip it off or hide it. I don't know what to do, praise God. I think they're trying to trick you. But you get up there and they scan it, and then it shows you the price. Well, my friend, that's how the devil does. Here's this thing you want. Well, how much is it going to cost me? Well, it doesn't matter how much it's going to cost you. Look how it shines. Look how great it is. Look what benefit it gives to you. Man, it's going to be great to have that. It's going to be great to have that new job that takes you out of church. God understands you'll still be tithing, giving to missions. You just won't be able to go to church faithfully. Hey, it doesn't matter what it costs. Look how great it is. Look at this whatever in your life, this idol. The devil has all these shiny trinkets, but he hides the price tag. So what's it going to cost you? What's it going to cost the cause of Christ? So number one, there is a consideration we must examine. Then number two, there is a conflict we must expect. Verse 29, verse 30, Bible says, lest happily. By the way, that word happily is not happily. Amen. Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. As I talked to our missionary friends out west, you know what one of the greatest challenges they have? It's not the people out there. It's the people back here that go out there and don't stay. It's missionaries that go out west, and for a while, the trinket, the newness is there. But at some point in time, something happens, and they've not counted the cost beforehand, and they don't stay. And so the next guy comes out, and these dear people, he's talking about how good God is, and he wants to start this church, and he wants to start a Bible preaching church, and he wants to change the community, and he's got all this zeal. And in the back of their mind, they're saying, well, he'll be no different than the last guy that came out here and tried it. Friend, that's the way it is. You see, as we have the vision to do something, we have to realize that there is always going to be distractions. There's a conflict we got to expect. The devil's not going to go down without a fight. You don't believe that? Everybody's excited about going back into church. Just this past week in California, there was a case that went to the Supreme Court. And you know what they said? Watch, I saw this, and boy, this challenged me. That they're saying that that if you can't allow concert venues to have more than X amount of people, churches shouldn't either. You know what's happened, church? We've lost our power. We've become no more essential than a rock concert or a country concert because, let's be honest, that's what we are now. We got to have the world music and we got to have the world stage and the light show. And we say, oh, we're just trying to reach people with the gospel. No, what we're trying to do is mix in with the world. Because we think that if we do that, there won't be as much conflict. So every decision we make, we have to realize there's going to be conflict with it. And that's what our Bible tells us in verse 29 and 30. In other words, there's going to be distractions. Now, verse 29, lest happily. That word happily means by chance. It's interesting, the Lord said, hey, by chance, you got this great plan. You've decided to build this tower. You've decided to go in this direction. And matter of fact, he's really saying you've decided to follow me. And by chance, almost like, hey, it might happen. No, he's saying it will happen. By chance, after he hath laid the foundation, after he started, right? After the foundation's laid and the plan has been made and we've counted the initial cost, but we've not counted the final cost. After the foundation is laid, he's not able to finish it, and all that behold it began to mock him. The best laid plans go wrong. We have to realize that along the way, I know we're back in church, praise God. People are going, hey, preacher, it's so good to be back in church. Man, I missed it so much. Yeah, because we weren't here for 2 months. But what are you going to do 6 months down the road, a year down the road? What are you going to do when you don't get up and you don't feel like coming to church because I'm just too tired? I had a rough week and I can't come back on Wednesday night because I'm too tired. You know, it's great until you look at it and you don't count the cost. There's going to be some distractions. There will be setbacks, so we expect them. That's what he's saying. If I know that the setbacks and the pitfalls are ahead of me, I can plan for them. So if I'm going to make right decisions, I can't have this mindset of it's all going to be a bed of roses. I have to realize that I've prayed about it. I know it's God's plan. Listen, I've looked at the perspective. I've counted the cost. I've looked at the price. And now I'm going forward for God. And when I go forward for God, there are going to be distractions. The devil's going to try to get me off track. He's going to get my mind off of things. And so I have to be ready for that. That is not a reason to abandon the plan that God has given you. Listen, there's too many people in the boneyard because they started out well, they didn't count the cost, and they once they got past that, they sat there and said, well, it's just not God's will for my life. Sure it is. If it was God's will to start with, then keep going until God changes the will of God for you. Now, I want to say this. Stop getting distracted. Stop looking at all the trinkets. Stop looking at all the naysayers and just figure out what God's will is for your life and go in that direction and keep going for God and keep trusting Him until He changes that in your life. Don't get distracted. Don't abandon the plan of God for your life because it gets hard. Not only are there distractions, it takes dedication. We must be resolved to accomplish what God has given us to do. Don't quit. Don't quit. Now's not the time to quit. Now's not the time to get distracted. Now's not the time to stop. Don't stop moving forward when it is God's will. Well, I'm afraid to come back to church. Okay. That's fine now, but don't go to any restaurants, don't go to Walmart, don't go to the grocery store. Get over your fear, and if that takes a week or 2 weeks, listen, you come back when you feel comfortable, but a year from now, you shouldn't still be out of church, watching online. 6 months from now, you shouldn't still be at church or out of church watching online. You got distracted, see? Dedication is this. We must be resolved to accomplish what God has given us to do. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't stop moving forward. Happiness is temporary, and so is misery. So don't make a move on these two things. Well, this will make me happy. For how long, though? I'm miserable, so let me get myself out of this situation. But how long will you be miserable? Listen, if you've made your decision and not prayed about it, not had the perspective about it, and not planned it, not counted the cost, and you've just gone off and done your own thing and you're miserable, that's, I agree, get out of the mess. If you're not happy, get out of the mess. But just because you're in the will of God and you're not happy, my friend, happiness is temporary. Listen, misery is temporary. The Bible doesn't tell us to be happy. We're to be holy. We're to have joy. Amen. And when you have joy, I'll be happy sometimes. There may be some misery in my life, but I know I'm in the will of God, and so I'm going to keep going and realizing that the Christian walk is like this sometimes. It takes dedication. Be dedicated to the will of God and find joy and peace in knowing we are in God's will. Listen, I know you're not going to believe this. Brother Jimmy will attest to this. Every day of my life as a preacher, I'm not happy. I don't wake up every morning going, man, it's just so wonderful. Everything's good. There are things that upset me. There are things that irritate me. There are things that make me miserable. But I do know this, those things will pass. Sometimes I get up and I am happy, and most times, 90% of the time, I am happy. God's been good to me. I realize that. But me serving God is not based on my happiness. It's based on God's will for my life. And so, listen, whether or not we have a full building every service. That's not what my happiness is based on. Whether or not I have a bunch of money in the bank, that's not what my happiness is based on. My joy is serving God. And sometimes circumstances make us happy. Sometimes circumstances make us miserable. But my focus has to be singular, and that is to do the will of God. And if I have joy and peace in doing the will of God, then I will be happy because I know I'm serving Him. Dedication is the attribute that leads to completion. Well, I need to be motivated. Let me help you with something. Motivation is temporary. Discipline and dedication is long-lasting. If you have to be motivated to do something right, make right decisions, if you have to be motivated to have action, what's going to happen is things will stop motivating you. So the discipline is, I'll give you an example. I read this that, people say they want to be motivated. Well, motivation may get you off the couch to go outside and walk for 25 minutes or 30 minutes one time. But it's the discipline that gets you to get up and go exercise and walk your laps or whatever you decide to do when you don't feel like it. Motivation makes me feel good to go do it. Dedication says I need to do it because it's the right thing to do, whether I feel good about it or not. Listen, every time you come to church, you're not going to feel like coming to church. Brother Jimmy, every time we come to church as a pastor for 18 years, every time I've walked in the door, my body and my flesh has not always said, hey, I feel like going to church. But it is amazing when you make yourself do it and you have the discipline to walk through those doors. Then all of a sudden you sit down and it's like the Holy Ghost of God pours over you and you start feeling like going to church. So let's stop working off feelings and emotions and motivation and realize it takes discipline and dedication to accomplish God's will for our life. That is a decision that we make. Dedication is the attribute that leads to completion. And then finally, I'll finish with this quickly. With that conflict, we have to realize that there is detriment that takes place. Oh, preacher, what is that? Well, look what the Bible tells us, that we may have to choose. We may have to choose in verse 26, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother, wife, children, brethren, sister, and his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now, you know that means. It means that we have to love God more than anybody else. We have to follow God above everybody else. So others will not, others will be affected by my decision. If I fail, other people fail. There's a cost and a benefit not only to us, but also to others. Don't be a detriment to the walk of others. Don't let others be a detriment to your walk. We say it all the time with our young people. You either are or soon will become like the people you hang around. One guy said it this way, said, show me the 10 people you're around the most and I'll show you your character. So we have to realize that when we fail because we've not planned, it is a detriment. Verse 29 said they began at the end of verse 29, after he was not able to finish it, all that beheld it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. What's that got to do with me? How many people are looking at your life and my life, and we name the name of Christ and we say we're a Christian, we love God and we're dedicated to Him and we go to church, and then when you decide not to do those things, it's a detriment to them. Every decision you and I make either benefits or is a detriment. It helps or hurts. Not just us, but others. And so as we move forward, and again, we look at our politicians, we look at our leaders, we look at each other, we look at our companies we work for, and we're going, nah, are they making right decisions? I don't know. My question to you is, are you making right decisions? I can't control everything else. I can control my decisions. And we must consider those decisions, and we must realize there's going to be conflict when we make right decisions. This evening, as we close, I've been pastoring 18 years I've seen people make good decisions. I've made people make bad decisions. Usually when they call me, they don't call me and say, "Preacher, would you help me pray about this decision?" They usually call me after they've made a decision. They usually want counseling after that decision has blown up in their face. And I don't have the perfect answer for everything. I can help by pointing you to the Bible. But usually when people seek counsel, it's more for cleanup. Help me fix the problem, not help me plan. And when we do that, folks, we miss the benefit of the wisdom of God. The key to making right decisions is put God first and do God's will. And then we know we are on the right path. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you tonight that you've given us wisdom from your Word on not only how to follow you in salvation, but follow you that we may honor and glorify the name of Christ in everything we do. God, you've been good to us, and I pray that the message has been a help to your people tonight, that you'd get glory out of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you for tuning in tonight again. Be with us on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock and 10:30 for our start of our missions revival. Dr. Scott Caudle will be with us. And then on Sunday night, we'll be broadcasting. We're going to do kind of a Q&A with him and some other missionaries. We will not be having service in the building, but we will be broadcasting that. And then we'll have Monday and Tuesday night missions revival. So you pray for us if you can't be here. And again, if you don't feel comfortable yet being in church, then you stay home, watch it online. But don't make that a habit from here on out. You pray and ask God when he gives you the wisdom to be back in church and you be back in the building. But we're looking. So you help us pray. Hope you have a great rest of the week, and we'll see you on Sunday morning. Good night.